friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty Friday Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 23rd Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let the games begin! The pandemic-delayed Tokyo Olympics officially opened Friday in Japan's capital. The opening ceremony was held at Tokyo's Olympic Stadium amid tens of thousands of empty seats because of COVID-19 precautions. The ceremony had familiar features such as fireworks, musical performances, and the traditional lighting of the Olympic cauldron. Athletes marched and waved their flags during a socially distanced parade of nations. I'm ready to wave the flag now for Samson O'Malley, who has an extra spicy package of Olympic news. Sporty Friday Olympic greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday Olympic greetings to you, Sunny. We'll begin the wrap of African sports action with the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games, as one of the most troubled and strangest Olympics in modern history finally got on the way in Tokyo on Friday, struggling to shake off lingering virus fears after a one-year postponement and a build-up marred by scandal and controversy. Just fewer than 1,000 dignitaries was present at the 68,000-seat Olympic Stadium for the traditional extravaganza, usually a time of celebration for the host nation. This time around, after a year's pandemic delay, the Japanese public is largely locked out and distrustful of the games, fearing an influx of infections from the foreign visitors. Yet, the International Olympic Committee President, Thomas Bach, repeated his call for support from the Japanese public.
What we can do only is to try to get the attention of these people and to try to enter into a dialogue with these people to get not only the emotions across, but also to try, you know, to gain the confidence and their confidence in these strict COVID measures.
Asked whether there's any room to consider admitting spectators to the Tokyo Games, Bach said that organizers and the IOC will continue to monitor the coronavirus situation and reconvene a meeting if circumstances change.
We will keep monitoring the anti-COVID developments, and if there the circumstances should change, that then we will have another immediate meeting, five parties meeting, to address this with the relevant anti-COVID-19 measures.
The Tokyo 2020 organizers are expected to host a banquet on Sunday welcoming Bach and all the delegates, despite the state of emergency in Tokyo drawing criticism. There will be 204 nations taking part in this year's games, with North Korea boycotting. New Olympic sports will also be on display in Tokyo, with surfing, skateboarding, sports climbing and karate all making their debut. Staying with participation at the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games, Guinea has announced a dramatic U-turn by reversing its decision to withdraw from the Olympics on the eve of the opening ceremony, a day after confirming its withdrawal from Tokyo 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic. Guinea has now agreed to send a team of 5 athletes to compete in the games, which opened today. Guinean Minister of Sports Sanusi Bantama Sow announced on Thursday that the West African nation will not be taking part due to a resurgence of COVID-19 variants. But following a national and international backlash, Sow made another announcement confirming that the team will be participating at the games.
So, it is with great joy that I announce the participation of Guinea at the 2020 Olympic Games, after having had the assurance of the Japanese authorities. And the message from Japan is that they have reassured that all sanitary arrangements will be taken to protect the Guinean delegation.
pour protéger la délégation guinéenne.
Some Olympic sports events got underway ahead of the opening ceremony on Friday, particularly in football. Frank Kessié of AC Milan scored to give Ivory Coast a 2-1 win over Saudi Arabia in the Olympic Games encounter on Thursday at the Yokohama International Stadium, while Egypt held Spain in the day's earlier kickoff. Kessié handed the African nation the win with his 66th-minute goal before they were reduced to 10 men when Aboubakar Doumbia was sent off in the 7th minute of added time. Earlier, Egypt, another African representative, and Spain shared the points in a 0-0 draw in their early kick-off. South Africa went down 1-0 to host Japan in the Olympic football opener on Thursday after their squad was forced to isolate in the lead-up to the game as a video analyst and two players tested positive for coronavirus on Sunday. In the women's event, Zambia's Copper Queens crumbled in their first game against Netherlands as the Dutch team secured an easy 10-3 victory for their first Group F match. Now to Olympic swimming, where siblings Jayla and Troy Pina will be representing their mother's home country, Cape Verde, at the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games. Although they've never been to Cape Verde, the siblings made the swim team, a sport where Africans are underrepresented, and it's all thanks to a Facebook post. Jayla and Troy made the team after a family member in Cape Verde contacted the swimming committee in 2017 with their swim times. A year later, the two swam for the first time for Cape Verde at a competition in Algeria. Jayla, who is 16 years old, will compete in the women's 100 meters breaststroke.
Super excited to be able to be the first female to represent Cape Verde, or first person actually, at the Olympics and for swimming. And so it's just awesome to be able to get our name out there, especially in the swimming world, which many African countries don't have the opportunity to do. So I'm super excited to put our name out there and let the world.
Troy, who is 22, will compete in the men's 50 meters freestyle.
So being from America and swimming for Cape Verde, it's definitely different, especially when we travel to Africa and we swim at African championships. Most of those kids are from their country and born in their country. So for us, it's a little different being born in America, and it's probably definitely noticeable to those other countries.
Brian Cameron, coach at the Seabrook High School in Massachusetts, where the family is based, has been supervising their training.
It's been fun. The kids are doing well. From my perspective, not a lot has changed other than the fact that we travel to a lot of different places. You know, I never would have gone to Africa had it not been for this. And probably never would have made it to Asia. Yeah, now you got Japan coming up, and then the possibility of heading to Dubai and heading to Russia, or heading to, you know, in 2024, heading to Paris.
These siblings together will form the first Cape Verdean swimming team to compete at the Olympics. Staying with Olympic swimming, 17-year-old Donata Katai is making history for her home country, Zimbabwe. Miss Katai will be the first black swimmer from the Southern African nation to go to the Games. The teenager has won African youth titles and at several points broke the youth records once held by two-time Olympic champion Christy Coventry, who is not only Zimbabwe's most successful swimmer, but also Africa's most decorated Olympian. She speaks on how color impacts on her participation at the Tokyo Olympics for Zimbabwe.
We swim in some very different environments, you know, because in America, obviously, there's not many people of color that swim. Whereas in Zimbabwe, I'd say the majority of people who swim at the moment are people of color. So I guess her story would be very different from mine, because I wouldn't say I'm part of a minority group in Zimbabwe, because obviously there's lots of people of color.
And to not so good news, Team Kenya camp was on Thursday hit by a major blow after 2015 world 10,000 meter silver medalist Geoffrey Kamworo was ruled out of Tokyo Olympics with an injury. Kamworo, who was involved in a road accident early last year in Eldoret, Kenya, before making a full recovery to win the Kenyan trials for the Tokyo Games, is said to have aggravated the ankle injury he suffered in the crash. The 28-year-old is a three-time world half-marathon champion and previous world record holder, and had hopes of a medal in the 10,000 meters after winning the national trials. Here is Geoffrey Kamworo speaking shortly after winning his Olympic trial in Cheba, Kenya last month, talking about his participation at the Olympics.
Actually, the whole of last year was a terrible year for me, being a pandemic year. It was like 2:30 the time, I had a terrible accident, which took me away for 6 months. I didn't get to train well. And that's why the whole of last year I was out of competition. But I kept on training. I had a great team around me who encouraged me a lot. And for me, I knew my potential, and I knew that it's going to be all right with the time. And this is the time, and I'm really happy that all is going on well.
All is not going on well for Kenyan athlete Jeffrey Kamwor. He's been forced out of the Tokyo Olympics because of injury. And thanks to Samson Omale for that extra spicy Olympic package.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa, or ANOCA, says all 54 of its members have arrived in Japan for the Tokyo Games. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Tokyo, where he reached ANOCA president Mustafa Barif.
I can tell you that for the African participation, we are very satisfied. At 100%, as all the teams, all the 54 CNOs have been present in Tokyo right now. And this proves that Africa is strongly represented in these games. And this happens thanks to the help, assistance and determination of the ACNUA and the IOC, that they put forward all the necessary items and help to allow all the teams to be here.
What about accommodation, accreditation for the African teams that have arrived for the games?
I think there is a very high, really positive action from the organizers concerning all aspects, accommodation and so on. But we noticed a very strong restriction concerning the pandemic protocol and all the sanitary regulation. All are there to make sure that the COVID is well prevented in order to allow all the athletes to avoid any contamination and to be able to determine their records and their performance during these games. So I think that COVID has also put more awareness and determination for all the delegation in Africa to increase their determination to put these games in the positive side and to rise their performance. And all these efforts, really, we have to thank also the Japanese for government for the efforts and the put to prevent the COVID to be spread here.
What is the Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa, or ANOCA's, impression with the facilities arrangements in Tokyo?
Concerning the condition of the African teams and concerning their accommodation, we can only recognize that the organizers and the Japanese government has put all the items to make sure that the delegation are very relaxed, that they have all the necessary things to participate in these games. So I think that we need to give a big and a great congratulation to the Japanese government and congratulations that they put all that forward for the success of the Olympic Games.
That's Mustafa Barif, the president of the Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Tokyo, Japan.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Catherine Nanzuri is a proud member of Team Uganda, which is represented by one of its biggest ever squads in Tokyo. For more details, Magume Davis Rakawinj contacted the Uganda Olympics Committee President, Donald Rukare.
Team Uganda is excited that this is happening. As we all know, the Olympics is the crowning event for any athlete. And it's good to see that in spite of the ongoing pandemic, the Olympics are going to take place. And we wish all the athletes all the best as they begin to take part in their various events. The Olympics without fans is going to be definitely different, because the fans play an important role in creating the mood and atmosphere. And therefore, without fans, we anticipate that these are going to be different Olympics. But we fully understand that the health and safety of the athletes, the fans, and everybody is critical. And therefore, we have to make do with the new normal. And we look forward to the different events going on.
Uganda is sending one of the largest team of competitors at the Olympics, the second, I think, largest since the 1984 Los Angeles edition. Talk to us more about this.
Uganda is sending one of the largest group of athletes we've ever had in recent times, at 25, 13 female or ladies and 12 men in four disciplines of athletics, with the largest number, close to 19, boxing 3, swimming 2, rowing 1. And definitely we are very proud of all the 25 who have qualified. In our eyes, all these are heroes, and we're anticipating a very competitive enterprise this time, hopefully 2 to 3 medals, even 4, you never know. And therefore, we as the local organizing committee, the Uganda Olympic Committee, National Council of Sports, are very proud that we've been able to, notwithstanding COVID, present a team of 25 athletes that will be taking part in the Olympic Games.
One member of this team at the Tokyo Olympics will be a rower. Rowing is a game that is not so common here at home. Swimming is actually represented as well. How do you rate Ugandan swimmers?
In the swimming department, we have 2 swimmers who qualified via the universality route. We have Chirabo, one of the youngest swimmers on our contingent at 16, together with Ambala Atuhaire. And we look forward to them doing their personal bests as they take part in the swimming events next week in the Aquatic Center here in Tokyo.
One of the most anticipated disciplines would be athletics, and in particular long distances, where we have the current world record holder in names of Joshua Cheptegei. We have Chelimo, we have Kiprotich, who previously won the marathon at the Olympics. But also have those at the short distances like Halima Nakai, who is the current 800 meters world champion. How hopeful are you that these people are going to win medals for Uganda?
Athletics is one of the areas we have our largest team, close to 19, very competitive. We have the current double world record holder in the names of Joshua Cheptegei. We have Jacob Kiplimo. We have Winnie Nanyondo, Halima Nakai, Isaac Musagala, and we wish them all the best. We're right behind them, and our fingers remain crossed for podium performances in terms of medals from our athletics team.
Would you say that Uganda is likely to shine the most, despite the fact that, of course, athletes were affected by the COVID-19 pandemic?
We believe that notwithstanding all the adversities of COVID-19, 2021 is going to be a very memorable year in terms of our Olympic performance. We have the biggest team in recent times at 25, and we believe that we have been able to put our best foot forward, and we look forward at the end of the games on the 8th of August to be able to return home with a number of medals in our bags. We believe that some of our competitive favorite athletes are our double world champion in Joshua, Jacob, Musagala, even Winnie. So we believe that these are our hopefuls. Also in boxing, we have a number of hopes. And you never know, rowing might also surprise us and give us a medal. So we look forward to them. And as I said, for us, in our books, all the 25 are our heroes. For qualifying for the Olympics is not easy.
Competitors have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic in many ways, emotionally, psychologically, physically, and actually the lockdown also that was imposed as a way to curtail the spread of COVID-19 meant that they were not participating in different competitions, and also training was limited for them. What are you doing to help these athletes to remain focused and perform better?
COVID-19 remains a bit of a challenge. And we are making sure that our athletes remain solely focused on observing the SOPs. We provided them all the support, including a mental strength specialist who has been talking to them. And we believe everything is ready to go, and our athletes will be able to perform at their optimum level.
For Ugandan fans who will be watching back here in the capital, Kampala, someone in Arua, someone in Gulu, someone in Imbarara, Kabale, or in Tungamo district, or Buikwe, or Jinja, or someone watching all over the world from different parts of the world, what would be your final message to them?
I would like to conclude by asking all the Ugandan fans out there to join us in going to support Team Uganda. I think we shall begin with rowing with Kathleen in the water, the swimmers, then the athletes who will be going to the track. So let's call all Ugandans, let's support Team Uganda. Team Uganda, let's go. And we all should rally behind our gallant athletes.
That's Donald Rukare, the president of the Uganda Olympics Committee. And he spoke with Magume Davis Rakawinj from Tokyo, Japan.
I'm Donald Rukare, the president of the Uganda Olympic Committee and chair of National Council of Sports. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Peter Clotty, the host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. This is one of the stories we will be covering on Nightline Africa. Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi says South Africa's recent unrest is disappointing. We'll have details. Tune in and you'll be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
American fans, like many around the world, are excited to watch the various sports at the Tokyo Olympics. Joining us with more is VOA's Mariama Jallo.
The Olympics Games in Tokyo are back on track starting Friday, 1 year after being postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. U.S. fans, like others around the world, are eagerly waiting to watch.
I'm most excited for track because I was in track from in high school, so I'm most excited to see that. And especially the girls' race.
I love track and field. I'm looking forward to some of the newer events. I think there's skateboarding, if I'm not mistaken. And beach volleyball is always fun.
So I'm really excited that baseball is being played at the Olympics again. It's been a long time, and I'm really happy for that.
But COVID-19 continues to be a threat, and there is concern that Japan's vaccination rate is lagging.
I was hoping that the government of Japan would have been more prepared as far as vaccinations are concerned, because I know that there are a lot of other nations who are concerned about their athletes going out.
Others are not worried.
I feel like the team would be very safe and they would like feel cautious themselves.
Japan has reported over 850,000 COVID-19 cases and 15,000 deaths since the start of the pandemic, according to a tally by the Johns Hopkins University's Resource Center. Tokyo's governor says the city's medical system is ready to hold safe and secure Olympics.
Quite a lot of people will be vaccinated, and many will be vaccinated during the Tokyo Games. What will change as a result is that the rate of the elderly becoming seriously ill has been greatly reduced. The number of deaths is also very low, almost zero.
But the governor also warned that the coronavirus pandemic is far from over and the Delta variant remains a risk. This has led dozens of protesters to march against hosting the Games.
Over 1,000 people have gotten infected in 3 consecutive days in Tokyo, and people are dying. If we had allocated money and human resources to anti-COVID measures, the situation wouldn't have got this bad.
The Tokyo Olympics are due to run from July 23rd to August 8th. Mariama Jallo, VOA News.
Hi, this is Andre DeGrasse, 3-time Olympic sprint medalist, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
My Voice of America colleague, Gwen Ooten, joins us now with an Olympic profile of Angelina Loalith. Angelina will compete for the Refugee Olympic team in the women's 1500 meters race. Sporty Olympic greetings, Gwen.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sunny. In 2016, track runner Angelina Ndai-Lohalith was one of 10 athletes to compete at the Rio Games as part of the first ever Olympic refugee team. Now, the 26-year-old is set to compete for a second time at this year's Tokyo Games. And just days before the opening ceremony, Lohalith told Reuters News she had a dream of seeing the world, but wasn't sure how she would achieve it until she became an Olympian.
I used to tell myself that one time I will travel with the aeroplane in various places, but I never knew that what will make me to travel. I just know that one time I'm going to travel. But now it happened in 2016 that I traveled to Brazil and competed international Olympic. Then I realized that, oh, I have a talent that can take me far. For me, it was really, really happy for it.
Lohalith was preparing to travel again, this time to Tokyo, as one of five refugees originally from South Sudan who competed in Rio. But then the pandemic hit, forcing her to leave her training camp for a refugee camp in Kakuma in northeast Kenya. Lohalith had previously lived at the camp after she escaped South Sudan's civil war in 2002. And she says putting her Olympic dreams on hold last year and returning to Kakuma took a mental and physical toll.
The time when COVID-19 break, we went home to refugee camps almost now a year. So our good ship that we were, it went down. So by that time, you know, now being in the refugee camp, it's sometimes, most of the time it is challenging. It's not a kind of a good place that you can train with. First of all, it was because of the weather. Then the place is not, sometimes it's not safe for training. But then we never lose hope. I never lose hope because I know there's something ahead of me. It is not something that happened to me only. It happened to the whole world.
The delayed games caused a disruption in Lohalith's training, and to get back into competitive shape, she trained for 1 hour on the track in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. And she leaned on her natural talent for running that was discovered in high school. A teacher encouraged Lohalith to take part in a race that was founded by Kenyan long-distance runner Tegla Larope. Larope is a former marathon world record holder and currently chief of mission for the IOC's Olympic refugee team. And ahead of the Tokyo Games, she expressed pride at seeing her team of athletes on the Olympic stage.
It is a teamwork to see that kids with displaced background have the right to compete like any other. So today our athletes are athletes, not like when they went to Rio. Now they are competing because of time.
Larope was also on her way to Tokyo, but she tested positive for COVID-19 just days before the start of the games. It's being reported she will not travel to Japan. However, Angelina Lohalith is in Tokyo, where she says she hopes to run even faster than she ran at the Rio Games. In 2016, she finished the 1500-meter race with a time of 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Now, Lohalith hopes to cut her time in that same event to under 4 minutes 30 seconds.
I'm really not struggling to release some second, but if I can just run under that, I know it for me, it will be a big achievement for me.
The women's 1500-meter qualifying heats are scheduled to begin on August 1st. This year's refugee team is nearly three times larger than the inaugural team in 2016. The team of 29 athletes are from 11 countries that include Cameroon, Congo, Republic of Congo, Eritrea, Sudan, and South Sudan. Per tradition, the country of Greece led the parade of athletes during Friday's opening ceremony, but following close behind were the members of the refugee team banded together under the white Olympic flag. The Tokyo Games are officially underway. And that is all from me for today and for the week. More Olympic news to come. Sunny, I'll hand it back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the July 23rd Olympic edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.